I think Lamar tried to go out there with the mentality of, I'm going to sit back here in the pocket. I'm going to sling this football. And I'm going to win this. I'm going to get my team to the Super Bowl. And you know what, Lamar, you've had an MVP season, brother. Go out there and do that. Go out there and you know, create and get to your guys, Mark Andrews and Odell Beckham, Zay Flowers. You have options. We know that. But at the same time, Lamar Jackson, at the same time, don't forget what makes you unique. It's your ability to run the football. Nobody can do what you can do in the open field. And just like that, ladies and gentlemen, we have another Super Bowl in front of us. It's the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm ready for Super Bowl Sunday. I am. A week and a half to go, guys. It is on its way. Welcome on in, guys, to 94 Feet. It is your host, B.O.D., to here with you. As always, it is a pleasure to be back on here sharing more content with you about things going on in the sports world, always with a piece of insight on the end. For those of you guys that are new to the show, hit that subscribe button. I appreciate you taking time out just to join in. A lot of different things going on. Championship Sunday just passed, so I'm excited to talk about just some of my reactions, some of my thoughts to what took place in the NFL this past weekend. Got a little NBA in there as well that we're going to mix in. And as always, the goal segment at the end, which is the prize possession that I like to share. That would make sure you guys always leave with something that is insightful that you're going to put back into your day. So let's go ahead and get right on into it, to what is on my mind. I'm going to start with the Chiefs and the Ravens, guys. Not the best game for the Baltimore Ravens, okay? Chiefs defense, they made this game extremely difficult for Baltimore's offense, okay? Lamar never got comfortable in the pocket. They blitzed him all night, off and on, guys, all night. All night. Chiefs led the time of possession for nearly an extra 15 minutes more than the Ravens. Okay? That's a whole quarter, practically. That's the whole NFL quarter. Patrick Mahomes showed up, continued to remind the people that he belongs in this GOAT conversation. When you talk about the Tom Brady's and the Joe Montana's and things of that nature, Patrick Mahomes showed us, hey, consider me in there. And let's look at his road of competition that he went through. He took out the Dolphins, took out the Bills last weekend, and now he's taking out the Ravens. You know, so I mean, again, nothing to sneeze at. In terms of when you look at what they went through, they played all the way up from the bottom ranks of the wild card, you know, to be able to get to the position that they're in now. Patrick Mahomes completed 77% of his passes. Travis Kelce, he led the way for receivers. He was targeted 11 times. He caught all 11 passes, finished with 116 yards total. The running back for the Chiefs, Isaiah Pacheco, came out there, y'all, ready to play. He had an excellent game. All right, he led the team with 68 rush yards. I mean, the Chiefs, they played like champions. They literally did. There's really no other way to put it. They played like champions. Now, on the other side, there's the Baltimore Ravens. Guys, I think the Chiefs, they won the game, but Baltimore made some mistakes that also cost them this game, guys. There were some mistakes made on their end. First of which, too many penalties. 8 penalties that turned into 95 yards. You got receivers dropping passes. You got Zay Flowers with the one play where I think it was thrown for over 50 yards. He catches it, gets tackled, stands up, and then he stares down at the guy. You can't stare down the defender. Of course they're going to call you for taunting. You can't do that. It's unsportsmanlike, obviously. You know, I know Zay Flowers. He's a rookie receiver. He just got drafted in April. I understand that. You know, and you could tell. This Ravens team, guys, was just not prepared. And Zay Flowers had the one play in the fourth quarter where it could have been a touchdown. Excuse me. He had the one play in the fourth quarter where it could have been a touchdown where he tried to stretch out to get the football over the goal line, and the defense actually punched it out. You know, and I've heard from some of the other analysts who cover the sports that, you know, that's not exactly the most wisest thing to do there in that position. That I don't know too much about. I would have to listen to more to figure out why. But, you know, you figure if Zay Flowers scores that touchdown, that's a completely different game, you know. And I think it was more so the offense. I look at the offense for the Ravens. Low-scoring game, guys. They lost 10-17. They only gave up 17 points to the Chiefs. And this is a high-powered Chiefs team, but it's got options offensively. Valdez Scantling and Travis Kelce. I mean, they have options. Isaiah Pacheco. They have options. You only gave up 17 points. The Ravens defense did what they were supposed to do. It's the offense, you know, that I feel that was such a letdown. And let's look at the number one option for the offense. It's the quarterback, Mr. Lamar Jackson. Guys, Lamar didn't live up to the moment overall. He didn't. You know, and I think if you ask me, I think Lamar has allowed just some of his critics to get into his head. And he's listened to these comments about people saying that, you know, you can't win a quarterback with somebody who plays like that. He should have been a running back. You know, you can't run a quarterback with that kind of style of play. And I think Lamar tried to go out there with the mentality of, I'm going to sit back here in the pocket. I'm going to sling this football. I'm going to win this. I'm going to get my team to the Super Bowl. And you know what, Lamar, you've had an MVP season, brother. Go out there and do that. Go out there and you know, create and get to your guys, Mark Andrews and Odell Beckham, Zay Flowers. You have options. We know that. But at the same time, Lamar Jackson, at the same time, don't forget what makes you unique. It's your ability to run the football. Nobody can do what you can do in the open field. You know, nobody's as agile, as quick. You know, your ability to be able to juke and get defenders out the way. I mean, nobody can do that like Lamar. That's what makes you unique. And I felt like we didn't get a nice mixture of that. I think Lamar, at points, tried to force passes, which ended up him being sacked in the backfield or a bad throw or turnovers. We had a turnover right at the end of the corner. He went and threw a touchdown. I can't remember who the receiver was, but it was triple coverage on him. I mean, you know, I think sports has a unique way. Sports are unique in that, yeah, you practice for your sport, you learn the tactics, you learn the plays from your coach and things of that nature. But there are some things for sports guys that you just can't prepare for. It's instinctive, and it's learning how to react on the fly, you know. And I think if I'm Lamar, I would have went out there with a combination of, yeah, I'm going to sit here and throw this football, but also I'm going to remember that, guess what, when I get out into the open field, you can't stop me. I'm out. You know, and this defense, like I said, they blitzed them all night. If Lamar gets a couple short passes to his tight ends, gets a couple short passes going, right? Okay, they might relax on the blitz a little bit. The minute they relax on the blitz and I get a couple openings, I'm out. They can't catch me. I'm out. I'm out immediately, man. That was something I would have really liked to see from Lamar. Like I said, it's a mixture of the run but also the passing. You know, that's what makes that team so dynamic is his ability to like I said, just to it help that team continue to march down the floor with his ability to run. Much like what we just saw from Brock Purdy. I mean, Brock Purdy essentially played the game that I would have expected more so from Lamar. Brock Purdy's really not known to be that active, you know, in the open court, in terms of being able to run the football. But hey, you know, again, it's about instincts, and it's about learning how to react on the fly. You know, those are some things I would have really liked to see. From the Ravens, man. But, you know, I give credit to Steve Spagnuolo of the Kansas City Chiefs. He went out there and did what he was supposed to do. I mean, they completely neutralized that offense of the Baltimore Ravens, you know. But focus. Focus is another big factor. I go back to that. You know, they didn't come out there with the intentions of wanting to win. So the Kansas City Chiefs will be going on to another Super Bowl. Now, let me look at the other team here who had a 24-7 lead, which they thought would be a comfortable enough lead to get them to the Super Bowl. But unfortunately, Mr. Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions, their run has come to an end against the San Francisco 49ers. Guys, the 49ers won this game 34-31. The Lions were up at halftime 24-7. 24-7. I'm looking at the game. That's always a wrap. We got the Lions and Chiefs Super Bowl. It's done. Well, that's what I thought. And much like everybody else in the world, we forgot that there was another half of football to play. Okay? In the second half, they were outscored 24-7. Lions ran the ball in the first half. Excellent, you know, to a degree that was, I mean, I just gave you the score, 24-7 in the first half. Jamar Gibbs and David Montgomery ran for a total of 138 yards. The run game was working. Why did you stop? Why did you stop? I have no idea what happened there. You got somebody like Brock Purdy, who I just talked about just a little bit of a while ago. Brock Purdy in the second half runs out there, slinging the football, getting the ball to his teams, getting the ball to his receivers when they're open. And when they weren't open, went out there and extended a couple plays, a couple times with his legs. If I had to give this game a title, I would say literally it was two different games in the two different halves. That's what I would say. The first half, Lions went out there and did what they were supposed to do. Second half, they just turned it off. And here come the 49ers. And they ran away with it. 34-31. Two different halves, guys. And this Lions team, let's face it too, this team has not been in a conference championship since 1957. So it's been a long time. You know, it's just the fact that they're dealing with guys who haven't been here before. This 49ers team has been hungry. We know that they were in this position last year. Literally had no quarterbacks. They had four different quarterbacks that all got injured in one season. Literally so bad to the point that Christian McCaffrey had to line up to snap the football. Who's the running back for the San Francisco 49ers? Had to line up as the quarterback. So, I mean, this team, the core of this 49ers team has been together for some time now. So, you know, again, just a different level of focus. And this is what I talked about, again, with the Kansas City Chiefs. You got to come ready to play, guys. You know, but I think the Lions, they had a great season. Much credit to Dan Campbell. I think, you know, they weren't expected to get to this position. You know, and I think they definitely have overachieved, you know, in terms of where they are now. Dan Campbell is very correct. You know, I heard a couple of different interviews that he did on Monday or Sunday, and he talked about the fact you want to look you guys in the face and say, we'll be back here next year. Realistically, we don't know. You know, it's tough to win in the NFL, guys. It's tough. You got one game to go out there, and it's got to work in the one game. And if it doesn't, you're going home. You know, so it's unfortunate for the Lions. But you know what? It is what it is. Again, this team, I think they should be proud of what they've done. But, you know, again, I think they should have just kept running the ball. I mean, that's what was working for them early on, and they just went away from it. And here come the 49ers. So we have a Super Bowl on the way in a week and a half. I'm excited for it, guys. Let me transition here to my next topic. This one, I'm actually going to add something in that came up this earlier today. I was only going to talk to you about Commissioner Adam Silver, who extended his contract over the weekend, who will now remain the commissioner of the NBA through the next decade. What I also just want to include here, so first was congratulations to Adam Silver, you know, who's done so much, you know, for our NBA. You know, we talk about where the NBA is today. You know, I think one of the things that makes the NBA so tough to run, or any of our sports leagues, you know, NFL, NHL, MLB, is it's so much more than just a sport that people sit down and watch. You know, it's a business, you know, and there's so many things that you have to consider on all fronts in terms of what can we do? What are the things that we need to be able to do to continue to increase our popularity of our current sport? Give guys an opportunity to play the sport in such a way that the game continues to progress and to grow. At the same time, bringing in dollars. There's so many, and I mean, that's only a small fraction of it. There's so many different things to consider, you know. And what I wanted to just add into this conversation that I didn't plan on until right now is there was a hot topic that was going around the sports TV shows and radio, sports talk radio today as I listened to a couple of different shows. And they're talking about the NBA's rule, the 65-game rule that they have now, that players must play in order to be eligible for things like the MVP award, Defensive Player of the Year. You talk about the All-NBA teams, those kinds of things. They have to play a minimum of 65 games. And I'm listening to Mr. Tyrese Haliburton, who after the game yesterday is talking about the fact that he thinks the rule is stupid. And, you know, he thinks that, you know, it essentially shouldn't be there. Well, I stand by the same position that I had before when they first released this rule. I think it sucks that the NBA had to put this rule in. Why do I say that? I think it absolutely stinks. Because the way I look at it is, why should the NBA have to put in a rule to force you to come out there and work? Don't you love basketball? Isn't that why you work so hard to get to where you are today? Isn't that why you work so hard for those of you guys that went to college? Isn't that why you went to college and bust your behind and got up and went to workouts early and things of that nature so you could be in the position you're in today? Isn't that what it was all about? So why now all of a sudden does the NBA have to put in a rule to get you to come out there and play basketball? You know, I hate to say it, but I'm going to be honest with you guys. Every time I look at my NBA app and I look at the games that took place the night before, if I see the Pelicans or the Clippers, I got to go and look at the roster. I want to see, did Zion Williamson play? Did Kawhi Leonard play? And it's not to pinpoint these guys, but it's just there's been so many consecutive seasons where every time you turn around, oh, they're hurt, you know, something happened, hamstring or, you know, some other kind of, you know, ailment or whatever the case may be. They're always out. And the first thing I want to know is, are they even playing? And every time I go in there and I see that they're on the floor, I'm happy. I really am happy. It's not even to make a joke about it. I'm happy because, again, this has been one of the issues we've been looking at for so long in terms of guys just not being out there, you know. And I would say to Tyrese Haliburton, for him and his circumstance, it's unfortunate. For somebody like Anthony Edwards, who talked about this last year, that he believes in being out there and getting paid for actually playing basketball, he is not with this idea of sitting out games. It's unfortunate when you think about this 65-game rule, 65 games a year that they have to play. But at the same time, understand that there were things that took place that brought the NBA to where it is now that they had to implement this rule. All the nonsense that the Brooklyn Nets went through with Kyrie Irving and the whole vaccine thing and not playing, but at the same time, you got your hand out for somebody to pay you a paycheck. You don't think the owners were thinking about that when this rule came into place? You got Ben Simmons with his nonsense with Philadelphia and not wanting to show up, missing almost a quarter of the season, waiting to be traded. Half the season, I'm sorry, because he got traded at the deadline when James Harden first came over. You don't think owners were thinking about that kind of stuff? Yeah, I already mentioned to you Kawhi Leonard. I already mentioned to you Zion Williamson. And it's not to say some of these injuries weren't legitimate. But again, what are you doing in the offseason to be able to get your body ready to play an 82-game season, you know? And for the players that say, because I know some other NBA players have been very vocal, talking about the fact that when they're sitting on games, it's not solely just the player. You know, that it also is a combination of the training staff. It's a combination of the organization that pretty much tells them, hey, listen, these are the games you're going to play. These are the games you're going to sit. In that case, to me, we look at the whole organization then, not just the players, not just the player, not just the individual. It's all of them that we look at. All of them. You know, so it's unfortunate. This rule, I still don't like it, because the way I look at it, we shouldn't have to put a rule in place to get guys to go out there and play basketball. It should already be automatic. This is what you're getting paid to do. You know what you signed up for. Get there. You know what? I can't even speak myself. Some days I wake up, I don't feel like going to work. I'll be honest with you. I'm no perfect human being. I don't always feel like going to work every day. But you know what? I get there. And that's what I say to the NBA players. Figure out and do what you got to do to make sure you can be healthy. Because you know what? There were players that paved the way for you to get the dollars that you're making now. There were some players that played in the 90s. They couldn't even think about getting paid with somebody like Jaylen Brown's going to get paid over the next couple of years. Who's currently the highest paid NBA player. Who's scheduled to make almost $70 million a season. I think $68 and $69 million in the years to come. This is a guy that hasn't even won an NBA championship, y'all. So just imagine. Think about where the league is going. Think about the dollars that are now available to you that weren't available before. You want to keep it like that? You want to keep it growing? It's up to y'all. That are the current players that are currently a part of this NBA today to continue to push the envelope, to continue to push this league forward in the right direction. You got to show up. So again, major props to Adam Silver. I think he's done a wonderful job to talk about the in-season tournament. You talk about the play-in tournament now that they've attached to the playoffs. You know, all these different things that they've done to continue just to keep the popularity of the sport up is so important. They've looked at just some of the things with the non-basketball moves that the referees used to call. Some of those plays, you know, where the guy essentially puts himself in such a way to draw the foul. And it's not really a true foul, but it's just the fact that they ran into the offensive player. You know, just getting rid of some of those calls, getting rid of some of those things that you know, again, as they called it, non-basketball moves. You know, these are things that also help just to maintain the integrity of the sport. You know, so I'm really happy to see that they took a step forward. Let me jump here to my next topic real quick. I'm looking at the Milwaukee Bucks, who let go of Adrian Griffin last week. They fired him. In less than 48 hours, they hired Doc Rivers. Now, Doc Rivers was on the sideline for ESPN calling games. Left that job, went right back into coaching. I truly believe coaching is what he wanted to do. I think he's better on the sideline anyway as opposed to being in the broadcast booth. But you know what? You got to do what you got to do. It was the job that was in front of him, so he took it. But you know, but let me talk about Adrian Griffin for a second. I feel bad, you know, that he was fired. You know, I think that this wasn't necessarily the best situation for him. He was a young coach, first time ever being a head coach. You know, and he came into a situation with a team that wanted to win now, you know. We know that Giannis, he's looked at as the main player. He, you know, the NBA, they market these guys. They market, you know, the individual players along with the teams. You know, we know Giannis has a lot to say so in terms of who's hired there as the coach. This is who Giannis, you know, was in agreement with for them to bring in. It didn't work out. You know, and you could clearly see Adrian Griffin, he didn't have the pulse of this team. You know, they weren't buying into him as their head coach, and just there was no respect. We heard about the issues with Bobby Portis yelling at him in the locker room. We can see him and Giannis arguing on the sideline. They clearly, you know, there was a disconnect. It wasn't working out. They had to do something different. because this is a team that wants to win now. You have an aging Damian Lillard, I think, who's now, I'm going to say, about 33 years old, I'm going to guess, roughly. You got Giannis, who's into his late 20s. He's almost 30. This is a team that wants to win now. They have the pieces. You got the supporting cast, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, Malik Beasley, Jay Crowder. This is a team that wants to win now. They had to do something different. So I think, like I said, the personnel is there. Doc Rivers has got his work cut out for him in terms of just getting guys to be on the right page. You got 2 months. Tomorrow's February 1st. So you got 2 months to figure this thing out. Okay? Doc Rivers, I think you need to be mindful of your own record. Yeah, we know that you're a well-respected coach around the NBA, but I think at the same time, you need to remember that people are also looking at your resume as well. You got three different teams where you've blown a 3-1 lead in the playoffs. You know, and I want the one against Philly. I don't hold it against him. I think James Harden didn't show up. That's what I'm looking at. I put it more so on the players. But unfortunately, you were the coach. And it goes on your record. It goes on your resume. You know, and as much as he's probably happy to be back in a coaching position, as much as people revere him for just some of the work that he's done already as a head coach, you know, he's already respected as a head coach in this league, I think you also have to remember the time is ticking on his clock as well. And people are looking to see, are you going to win? So figure it out. Y'all work it out. You got 2 months. You're clearly already in the playoff standing. But you need to be able to put out a better showing that looks more promising, especially if you want to compete with some of your other contemporaries in the league, more so in the Eastern Conference, Philadelphia, the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat. Miami Heat are quiet, but they're always quiet in the regular season. We know that Jimmy Butler turns into another player come playoff time. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, guys, right into our crunch time segment here. So this past Saturday, the Denver Nuggets took down the Philadelphia 76ers 105-111. There was no Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, or Tobias Harris. Should the Sixers be worried about Joel Embiid missing more games? I got a simple answer for y'all on this one. If it means that Philadelphia, if Joel Embiid missing games, it means that Philadelphia will be playing into late May and early June, I got no problem with it. Joel Embiid, you take all the time you need, brother. Because that's really much where his career is at. Don't worry about this whole 65 games a season rule that they got going on right now. You've already won the MVP. All right? Joel Embiid, you need to be focusing on the championship. You need to be focusing on getting your team out the second round. Okay? You are, I think he's 0-5 now in second round. That's his record currently on his resume. You need to get your team to a conference final. You need to get your team to an NBA final. Joel Embiid, you need to win an NBA finals. That's what you need to be worried about, is getting your team to where they need to be, working on your resume, like I said, and getting your championship on it. Your greatness is already solidified. We've seen you run up the boards. We've seen you run up the scores. You just had 70 last week, okay? Wonderful. But at a point, people want to see you win. You got to win. The Lakers come out on top after a double overtime victory against the Golden State Warriors. Will the Lakers make the playoffs this year? Guys, to me, I think it just depends on the production of the supporting cast. Depends on the supporting cast. LeBron James is excellent, 20 years in the league, and looks like he just got drafted in June of 2023. Still playing at a high level. Anthony Davis has been healthy. He's been showing up for the most part, doing what he's supposed to be doing as a lead for this Lakers team. LeBron James talked about at the beginning of the season that he's given the keys to AD, as AD, Anthony Davis being the face of this Lakers team. To me, it's the supporting cast. Supporting cast has got to do what they're supposed to do, man. You now have 1 week away from the trade deadline, you know, and that these guys got to be able to show up and do what they're supposed to do. I'm listening to LeBron James last night in the post-game presser following their loss to the Hawks. They lost to the Houston Rockets two nights ago. And he pretty much said guys need to show up and do their job. He's right. You got to show up, y'all. You have the pieces. You know, I think, like I said, they should be a lot better than what they have been so far. You got to show up. You can't win the game ball alone by yourself. To me, it depends on the supporting cast. Head coach openings in the NFL are dwindling down. Bill Belichick is still available, has yet to be named a head coach. Should he be worried? No, I wouldn't be worried. Bill Belichick as well has already proven himself. I understand his record post Tom Brady, for his days in New England, is not the best. You know, he hasn't been the most successful. But I think he's proven himself. You know, this is a guy who's already won, 6 NFL national championships. You know, so this is a guy who's already proven. I think much like Doc Rivers, you wait for the perfect opportunity. If nobody hires you between now and September, you hold on, because we know coaches get fired all the time during midseason. We don't like to say that. You know, we don't wish that upon anybody. But again, it's the nature of the league that these guys play in. I'm not worried about anything at all. You wait for the right opportunity. And when it comes, you pounce on it. You pounce on it. In the meantime, like I said, you continue to wait. That's what I would do if I was Bill Belichick. KD questions, why isn't his name mentioned in the GOAT debate? Now, this was actually something that was buzzing around all last week. I just wanted to touch on it with you guys real quick. Well, I think the one thing KD has to remember is KD's one of the greatest scorers ever playing this NBA game, okay? And he always will be. KD's already a Hall of Famer, okay? We already know that. Why isn't his name mentioned in the GOAT debate? Couple different things you got to think about. Well, let's look at him measured up against the two guys whose names always come up in the GOAT debate. You talk about somebody like LeBron James, who can score just like you, but also has the ability to facilitate, also has the ability to kind of jump into that point forward position and run an offense. That's not really KD's game, you know? You talk about somebody like LeBron James, who's also been vocal on a lot of different things that have gone wrong or gone right with his team. KD hasn't always been the most vocal, you know, in his opportunities when he's had an opportunity to speak up. There were a lot of people who were very disappointed about the way that KD handled his communication publicly with the media as it related to Kyrie not wanting to take that vaccine. There were some people who really wanted to see KD kind of, you know, take charge, you know, and I mean, I know he couldn't really force him to take it, but again, the fact that he wasn't more, you know, open to having more conversation with Kyrie in terms of, you know, taking this vaccine, there were some people who looked at it and felt that, you know, he kind of shied away. You know, and this isn't my opinion, but I'm just telling you what I've heard from other people that I've even talked to just personally. So I think that's the one thing he's got to look at. LeBron James has been to 10 NBA Finals. Okay, he hasn't won all of them, but MJ has. He's been to 6, you know, and he won all 6 of them that he went to. And also, always, it's not just getting to the NBA Finals, but it's also looking at the road that you had to go through, the competition you had to go through to get to where you are. MJ came up in a time where he played against the Bad Boy Pistons. You know, the game was a lot different in the 90s versus what it is today. You know, the level of contact, you know, just being able to check guys and stuff like that in the 90s was a lot different compared to the way the game is played today. So, I mean, that's another thing KD's got to look at. I think for KD to really get into this conversation, he's going to have to win about another 3 or 4 NBA Finals. Titles, yeah, minimally. You know, and I don't know how much time he has because he's already almost, I think he's 35 already himself. So, you know, KD, you're a Hall of Famer, man. You're a great scorer. You know, everybody can't be considered the best. I think that's another thing you got to remember too, brother. We all want to, you know, but everybody can't be considered, you know, the GOAT as much as we'd like to put ourselves in that conversation. All right, guys, it is my favorite segment. It is the goal segment. For anybody that is new to the show, as always, I like to just remind you, as much as we talk about sports and things of that nature on this show, we also like to include something that is going to be insightful for you, something that you can put back into your life when you cut this podcast off, as you have a life to go out there and live. So there's something I always like to leave you guys with just to close up. So for our goal segment today, what I want to talk to you about is a book that I'm reading. It is by Rich Paul. Rich Paul is the owner of Clutch Sports. Rich Paul is a good friend of LeBron James. Many different stories that I've heard about him and his good friend. Also, another good friend of theirs, Maverick Carter. You know that they're in business with each other and multiple different platforms, multiple different fronts. I'm reading Rich Paul's book right now, which pretty much is a biography about his life. And I haven't finished the book, so I'm not completely through with it yet. But the one thing I would say that catches my attention is Clutch Sports is recognized as one of the top free agency companies in, you know, for NBA players right now. We know LeBron James, Rich Paul's his agent, Draymond Green, Anthony Davis, Ben Simmons. These are guys that have selected Rich Paul to be their agent. Well, I think what amazes me so far when I look at this book is that Clutch Sports is not just a company that exists today in 2024. I see Clutch Sports as a company that started back in 1980. And I don't even know what the official date is that Clutch Sports became when the business first started. But to me, it's something that started back in 1980. And the reason why I say that is because I look at some of the things that Rich Paul is talking about that he grew up with in his childhood. You know, he talks about the fact in terms of not having a perfect home situation. He talked about growing up in the 80s in Cleveland and looking at the crack epidemic and what it did to the just some of his loved ones, some of the people that are around him, some of the things that that he was exposed to at just such a young age. He talked about the fact that he watched crack literally rip, an addiction that his mother had you know, and just how detrimental it was on that relationship with his family, you know, with his mother, you know, not necessarily getting that closeness with her. His dad ran a corner store business, which was looked at kind of as like being like a safe haven within his neighborhood. You know, but there were so many things that I feel like Rich kind of had to self-learn about and self-teach. You know, he had to grow up quick. And a portion of the book that I'm at right now is he talked about being in middle school and realizing he needed to create some kind of a side hustle. He grew up playing craps games and stuff like that with other guys around the block and stuff like and stuff that other guys that are close by where he grew up at. He, you know, he played these games and, you know, he learned how to roll dice. You know, he even talked about just the specifics of how to hold the dice in your hand, how to get the dice to land, you know, on a certain number. And what I'm looking at is just some of the things that he shared that he learned in his childhood, in his early adult years, have made him into the business owner, the agent that we know today. When you talk about having to go out there and cut deals, when you talk about how to support your players, you know, when you talk about not just being an agent, but actually being a supporter, you know, for that player, being something even more than just what your job requires in terms of what it is that for the services that they're seeking out. You know, all these different things that, like I said, he learned as a young man and didn't even know or have an idea that a Clutch Sports was coming 20 years later here in 2024. But lessons he learned back in the 1980s. And I think the one thing that I want to take away from this, like I said, is don't despise your story. There are certain experiences that we're all going through right now, certain things that we've been through already. Some that were good, some that were bad, some that were painful. And I say to myself, as I think about Rich Paul, what experiences are you going through today? What experiences am I going through today that are going to be beneficial for me later on down the road before I'm going? Who's to say that the one experience, the one thing, the one lesson that I'm going through right now is going to open up an opportunity for me to maybe run into the business partner that I've been looking for, and it's going to give us an opportunity to make millions or to make billions? Who's to say? Who's to say that you could be on the cusp of discovering the answer for something that you've been looking to for a long time that's going to help make the difference in terms of living a healthy life or a life that is, I don't know, mediocrity? Who's to say? Everybody's story, everybody's situation is different. I can't sit here and run out different scenarios for you. But what I can tell you is, like I said, when I look at Rich Paul, when I look at some of the things that he's talked about so far in his book, I'm learning, like I said, Clutch Sports started in 1980 when you listen to the things that he was going through. So my thing is, what things have already started in your life that you can't necessarily see the reality of right now in the tangible physical world on this day that we're on the 31st of January, 2024? But it's on its way to becoming a natural reality to you because of the experiences that you're going through. Don't despise your own story. That's what I want you to remember today. Don't despise your own story. And I say it to myself because let me tell you something. I'm always the first person to take every negative experience I've ever experienced and flush it. I don't want to think about it. But again, there's also something to learn in the negative experiences as well, and the bad experiences, as much as we don't like to talk about it, as much as we don't like to think about it. Don't despise your own story, y'all. That's what I got for you today on this goal segment. So as always, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. I'll be back with more content. The NFL Super Bowl is coming in a week and a half, y'all, so y'all get ready. As always, like I said, thank you for your time. I will be back shortly with more content. This has been 94 Feet, your host, BOD, here with you.